When the show is over, get out of the studio.
You're
how about
still
that?
Cleaning my seat.
How hard is that?
I agree.
Mr. Producer, why don't you put your foot down, man?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you produce a show? Produce some organization around here. What do you produce, Mike? Besides heartache for Brian, we love you.
I threw Ike out of here.
My heart goes on like Titanic. Did you see that movie, Mike? No, he didn't. I can't hear you. Don't
yes,
talk to
I
me.
Saw the movie Cold Titanic in the theaters. I did, yes. I
great my, flick, man.
I think my arm just broke off.
What's up, bogus?
It's Thursday. You guys do a lot of work. You know, I was looking forward to this week in terms of I can get out of here even earlier than I normally do, a shorter shift in the building. But it's been a long week. Is it talking for 3 hours?
You
and
think people just show up and get on the air? And
I thought
and
you guys just
off the
mail
cuff
it in. Yeah,
there's preparation
no
involved in this.
I tell me about
come
it.
Come on, there's prep.
Killing me. You know what? And we are full-time employees.
Exactly.
Not part-timers. I don't have any second. Well, you have second gigs, and I do a couple of things on the side. But
second,
this
third,
is,
and fourth.
This is our priority, and it's always been our priority, and it's why this show is flawless and no mistakes are made, and everything goes according to plan.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
The NFL is taking a step that it's had the right to do for 5 years, only finally doing it now. And if only it mattered. They are hiring up to 24 full-time officials here for the 2017 season, and then may or may not add more, and maybe at some point we get to a situation where the entire workforce amongst NFL on-field officials are full-time employees. It's well documented that guys like Ed Hockley are lawyers Monday through Thursday and then shift into NFL mode. I guess on the surface, this has made a lot of people happy, and they go, problem solved. But
what
I've,
was the problem?
The bad officiating, which I've never, ever thought was the result of guys doing something else for the first 3 or 4 days of the week.
Yeah, I don't understand how this changes
anything,
the game anyway, anyhow, whatsoever. So now I'm a full-time official. Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, am I going through a rigorous training each and every week leading up to my particular game? Do I have more time to study film? Do I have more time for evaluations? What is the big change? And we didn't get that answered by the new director of NFL. Is Green is his last name. No
Scott
more.
Green.
Scott
no,
Green.
Scott Green is the head of the union.
Head of the union,
Alberto
excuse me.
Alberto Riveron is the new head of officiating for the NFL.
No more Dean Blandino.
Right.
So I don't understand why this is such a huge deal. Ultimately, all you want is for these guys to get it right. So now will they be suspended like Joe West in Major League Baseball if he speaks tongue-in-cheek about a particular player who he has a good relationship with? So I don't. This doesn't change the game for me. You want them to get it right. They're not going to always get it right. I'm one of the proponents of replay, and sometimes they still don't get it right, even with replay, which is baffling to me. So this is not a game changer. Great, you're going to be a full-time official. Now, how many guys will opt in? You mentioned you have other employment, primary employment.
Right.
Aside from your NFL gig. So with your NFL gig, will the money that's made there as a full-time official cover or be comparable to what you're making in your other employment?
Right. I mean, there are guys who make six figures as an official and then make six figures in their day job, so to speak. So are you going to double their salary? But I mean, that's a smaller point in this whole thing. I've never understood, and maybe I'm wrong, but you seem to be in agreement with me on this. I've never thought that the mistakes we've seen on NFL fields by officials are the result of them not spending enough time knowing football. Some guys, you're gonna make mistakes. That's unavoidable. Unless we go to robots, and even robots will probably have software glitches.
Of course they will.
We're here humans.
Yeah.
We're not gonna be perfect. And if you've seen any of the many documentaries or behind the scenes segments about what these officials go through, they are constantly graded and constantly given review materials, and then they get to the town Friday. I think it's Friday night for their Sunday game, and they spend all of their time in the 36 hours or so before the game going over what they didn't do well last week, what they might see this week, because teams do things differently and be aware of this, and they take weekly tests. You know, to me, the issues are are guys fast enough and quick enough and athletic enough to see what they need to see? Yes. They're being asked to see too many things. Maybe we need another official on the field. I'm in favor of more review. I don't think Inoculi's tired from lawyering Monday through Thursday, and that's why he's misspotting a football.
You don't know what's on his docket.
I guess, but I don't really see how, especially in the immediacy, this solves the problem. It may down the road, but I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah, what's the hook? What's the hook to this song? How does this change anything moving forward? And I'm with you 100%. If there's a issue, it's whether or not these guys have enough stamina to keep up with these elite athletes. Are they in the right position on any given play? That's more of a problem than, say, being full-time or part-time, because that really hasn't been in the conversation. I haven't heard anyone clamoring. Maybe I'm missing something. I miss a lot. People have been clamoring for there to be full-time officials. These guys take pride in their job. They want to do it right. I don't think we've had any nefarious things going on behind the scenes where you have it out for a particular player other than, was it Hockley who told Cam Newton he hadn't been in the league long enough to get that call?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he has it out for Cam Newton. Well, or maybe they did have it out for Cam Newton last year because he got pelted all season long and nothing was called on him. Been Tom Brady, everyone would have been kicked out of the game for even looking at him in eye to eye. I haven't been one clamoring for there to be full-time officials because I didn't think that was going to change anything. These guys have pride in their gigs, once again, and they're going to go out and try to do the best job available. That's why you have the replay to cover up for their mistakes.
Yeah, a friend of mine, actually, his dad was a field judge. I think he actually might have gotten pushed up the depth chart to a better spot this year. So I always go to him for you know, kind of the nuts and bolts stuff. And at least from his perspective, the population of officials, I don't know that any of them care about this. This is not. This is much, much more right now about PR and kind of false narratives than anything else. Again, in a couple of years, if you have guys now who have gone through the full-time system, so to speak, and maybe can, and part of this too is going to have, they're going to use up to these 24 full-time officials. You know, they're going to use them in league headquarters to go through things and figure out things and streamline processes and the rule book. So we, in 5 years, there may be dividends from having this kind of think tank created amongst officials.
Okay.
But because these guys are full-time, it's not going to make things that much better. I still think that, again, the rule book needs to be watered down, figured out. Maybe you put guys in different spots or a new guy out there or new cameras. I like the idea of somebody watching the game somewhere live with camera angles, and he make or she changes things or corrects calls before you even have to go to replay, before a flag is thrown. They
quickly.
Just go, oh, wait, nope, you missed it. You're off a yard. Or even on things that happen so infrequently, like it's not third down, it's fourth down. Like stuff like that. If we can make
a micromanager.
That, but why not?
And that's what's occurring at the NCAA level. If I heard Steve Shaw, the head of officials, SEC, correctly, that's what they want to get to. They want to get to a point where before the referee runs all the way across the field, gets on the headphones, we already have an answer to what he's going to be inquiring about. So that will help speed up the game. So I'm with you there as well. So that's twice this morning that I'm in agreement with you.
Look at us.
It's going to be a bad Thursday already.
Starting off strong.
Yeah. So anything that's going to help speed up the game, that's fine. And NFL games are not like college games. They're not like Yankees, Red Sox, where they last four and a half hours. So they don't have that problem. But they do have a problem with the referee making that trek across the field, getting under the hood, and then sometimes messing up the flow of the game. So if we can speed that up, and if there's someone in a central location right here in New York where they are now, and they can already make the call, you know what the officials are going to be inquiring about. So go ahead and review it before the guy gets on the headphones. You already have an answer for him, yay or nay.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'm sure there are some of you out there who have bought this hook, line, and sinker from the NFL and think that this is going to solve all problems officiating-wise, but it's not. Now, Mikey B was the first to connect me to this story. It's an interesting point presented by Pro Football Talk that you know, for the longest time, the NFL has pretended to not care about gambling and wanted to protect itself from gambling, even though the injury report is the direct result of sports gambling.
I would disagree with that. They do purport to care about it.
Well, they fight it.
Right.
And they don't want it to happen.
True.
But it's going to happen soon. And Pro Football Talk says that part of making officials full-time employees is another way to make it seem like the NFL is completely on the up and up, that if there's no real, you know, if a guy makes a bad mistake and it affects the outcome of a game or the point spread, you know, there's going to be millions of dollars on the line, and they are trying to erase all inklings of any kind of impropriety. So again, it goes back to this PR angle where they're doing things to make you think everything is cool, but it doesn't really solve any problems.
So during the off season, when football season has concluded,
mm-hmm.
or after the Super Bowl, all these full-time officials, they won't be able to, there's no way they can be compromised. Even though they're full-time officials during the season, but after the season, no one can get to them. Is that the mindset
yes.
here?
If they're not pumping gas or working in the gap you know, doing tax returns, you can't walk into the local H&R Block and go, "Hey, Ted, you want to do me a favor in a couple months?"
Okay.
Yeah. They're going to live in a bubble. They're going to be protected. And they're going to make no mistakes.
Do me a solid, man.
Zero
he
mistakes.
Call a penalty on so-and-so. As a matter of fact, call two personal files so you can be ejected. How about that?
I haven't seen one of those in a while. Can I get
call a couple of those unsportsmanlike conduct feelings. It's been a while. You haven't thrown your flag, dog. What's up? Here's $5,000. No, here's $5. Like I got.
This is called the Brian Jones special.
$5. That's all you get for now. Then we'll add some more zeros later.
Yeah.
After I get my flags tossed.
On a personal note, happening. Could you give me, you know, could you say, giving the guy the business next time you describe a personal foul penalty?
Giving them the business.
Yeah.
The business.
Give them the business.
Under the business. Pile, though, not on top of the pile, dummies. Okay? How about that? Give them the business.
So, nice try, NFL.
Well, you being kind of facetious and...
I mean, I don't have any expectations for this. I may be surprised again in a couple of years if this helps them get to actual things that will fix the problem, that will make the game... Because this has always been my...
The biggest problem is not with the guys on the field, other than are you in a particular position. So I'm not discounting, well, I guess I am kind of discounting what they have announced here. But down the road, I don't think the biggest problem, other than guys being in or not being in the right position, the bigger problem is the time it takes to overrule a call or upheld a call. That's the bigger problem. So we should be focusing on the guy who's watching the game here in New York City, and we want that guy to already have an answer as to what happened on the field. Therefore, when Joe Official gets on the mic, on the headset, he's only there for a second.
Right, or Joe Official doesn't make the mistake to begin with. He gets the call right, and getting the call right, again, to me, just never has connected to the fact that they're doing other things Monday through Thursday. They've already known. It's not like we're finding people off the street and going like, you want to ref an NFL game? Okay, I'll teach you on Friday and Saturday, then you'll work on Sunday. These are guys who have officiated up through the ranks, have gone through training. Mm-hmm. They know the game. What they're fine-tuning their skill set during the week. They're not learning from the ground up here. So you're working with finished products. I don't even know if they need to do this 7 days a week, because that's, to me, you can over-prepare for things overwork stuff. Right. I almost like the fact that they can do something else to take away from what happened on Sunday or Monday night or Thursday night. And part of why guys do other things is because they only work from training camp through December and sometimes January, depending on if they're good or not. So, they've got 7 months of the year to do something, so they work other jobs. I've never understood this, but people think that this is kind of like a game changer, and I just don't see that at all.
I don't see it either. Let's let it breathe for a little bit, as we like to say.
Yeah, and you know,
let it breathe for a little bit, a couple years.
Or how about just say, let's go all in. Like, if you here it is. There's 124 officials right now. Just say, anybody wants to be full time, you're full time. Just let us know. Here's the paperwork. Your benefits will kick in immediately. Your 401k starts right away, and let's go. The arbitrary 24-person thing confused me right away. Like, it's not like they can't afford to put
21 of the 24 will be
up to 24.
Time.
It might only be
five of the seven on the field.
Like, are there guys who you're okay with refereeing games, but you don't want them to be a full-time NFL employee?
Yeah,
I don't.
Exactly.
I just.
Are you going to pick and choose?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is all.
That's too much math.
90% PR. The other 10% might give us something positive, but not this season. Don't expect there to be, you know, like perfect officiating or better officiating. You're still going to be super angry on that first Monday after the first Sunday of NFL football, calling Brian and Greg and talking about what Ed Hockley or Gene Steratore did or did not do in a game.
Oh, wait. No. Steratore, no, that's our guy. He's the coolest official out there, and he does nothing wrong. Nothing. Mike, I thought we were going to get Gene on the show. What happened? Does nothing wrong. And he does basketball too, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the man. Coolest cat out there. Never, ever. No, this is a safe zone for him, Gio and Jones. You never say anything untoward about Gene Steratore. All right? You got that?
I got it.
You got it. All right.
Heard loud.
All the other ones? Yeah. Have at it.
Noted.
Steratore, too cool.
Noted.
Too cool for school. That's my man. Mikey B, what happened?
Well, clearly I didn't get him.
Hence the question, what happened?
Nothing.
You reached out and got silence back.
Reached out, got silence back.
Again.
You may proceed,
that's your
sir.
Producer.
Yeah.
You had choices.
That's not on me.
No, it's not.
Oh, no.
Good job by you.
No. You're damn right. You finally said something correct.
You
were correct.
You hoodwinked a more than one accomplished professional.
Bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
Ran amok.
What a great word.
Thanks,
so there was actually football last night.
Was there?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
On a Wednesday?
On a Wednesday.
Wow.
Wednesday night football.
Here we go.
I believe it was the Texans and the Panthers that played in Charlotte, which means we got to look at Christian McCaffrey. We got to look at Deshaun Watson. J.J. Watt was on the field last night as well for the Houston Texans. No Cam Newton. We did see Tom Savage as well. So there actually is a football conversation to be had this morning. There is also the books are open. I get to welcome a new member of a club that I am in the broadcasting world. That's coming up here in just a second as well.
Uh-oh.
And Devontae Freeman got paid. And Le'Veon Bell doesn't want to get paid just yet in Pittsburgh. And that's angry.
He wants
folks.
To get paid just a lot more than they're offering. $12 million. I mean, what can you get with $12 million, Latrell Sprewell? What can you? I mean, that's not. I got kids to feed.
Well, after taxes, what, probably like $7 million?
Yeah.
So I mean that's
Latrell Sprewell. Answer this question: what can you do with $7 million? I can't feed my kids $7 million.
You pay for a lawyer if you're choke a coach.
What was the amount he was balking about? $9 million. $9 million back in the day?
I have no memory.
I got
you're
kids
discussing.
To feed. Now, if it was Sean Kemp, and I don't believe Sprewell had as many kids as Sean Kemp, I can understand yeah, Sean Kemp balking about that.
Right, Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah, Antonio Cromartie, yeah. If you got that many in your flock, you know, come on, $7 million. That's a lot, but get as much as you can because you can only play for so long and a guy who's dealing with injuries. But we'll get into that when
855
I'm going to go choke.
212-4 CBS. 855-212-4227. I'll be on Facebook Live as Brian chokes Mike. And then we're back in just a second. Brad Heller update two on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4 CBS.
Hey, I got options, but you're number one. Can I get some love? I think she would have said yes right away.
Huh. Okay. I mean, or maybe say,
flattering.
Go check out your other options.
Thanks, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what she did.
What did you use? Because eventually it worked.
I just kind of wore her down.
Ah.
Yeah.
That old. Mm-hmm. Just became a nuisance.
Yeah, she just had to do it to get rid of me.
Dance with me, come on!
But now she likes me.
Now she likes.
I've really grown on her.
You told her from the beginning.
Yeah,
I'll eventually grow on you.
You'll see.
Literally.
And she's just now starting to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, like
so
a fungus.
We're on the way up.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Three kids?
Two.
Two kids?
Yeah, two. A boy and a girl.
All right.
We do this often, like once every 10 days.
Well, I can't keep up with all your chitlins.
There's two of them, and I'm the only one in the group that has any, so it's really easy.
What group?
Literally.
I have one.
But he, like, in the house, to day.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So two kids, and you grew on your wife. Good for you.
Thanks.
Wore down.
Yep.
Heller, no kids?
No, sir.
Oh.
Any options?
No.
Wow.
It's okay.
I knew you were a loser.
Well, there's an intro. Brad's here. The Wheel of Update anchors has fallen on him today.
Hello.
I wouldn't call him a loser, but Brian did because he's Brian.
He's mad at me. And Brian's mad
at
me. I am
definitely upset with you. Yes. You're in the doghouse.
It's my fault. It's my fault. Yeah. That's
fine. Okay, well, this has been awkward. Here's your update.
We're off to a great start. All right, guys, only the preseason, but Deshaun Watson and Christian McCaffrey made their NFL debuts last night. Watson looked good, 15 for 25, 179 yards passing. Also ran for a touchdown. The Texans lost to the Panthers 27-17.
Today was it was good just to get my feet wet. Not just me, but all the rookies and just get out there and just, you know, experience my first NFL game. So it was fun.
As for McCaffrey, he carried the ball 7 times for 33 yards. The Steelers will start rookie quarterback Josh Dobbs in tomorrow's opener against the Giants. Ben Roethlisberger is going to sit out. Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. aren't expected to play either for New York. The Falcons giving running back Devontae Freeman a 5-year contract extension worth a reported $41 million. It includes $22 million guaranteed. Baseball with Michael Brantley going on the DL with an ankle injury. The Indians have acquired outfielder Jay Bruce from the Mets for a minor league pitcher. That was after the Tribe blew a ninth inning lead against the Rockies.
Pitch to Blackman. Charlie will hit that to right field. It's got a chance. It's going back. Jackson the wall. It's gone. Charlie Blackman has broken a 2-2 tie.
Jack Corrigan with the 12th inning call. Rockies Radio Network. Final score in Cleveland 3-2. Meanwhile, the Red Sox staying red hot. 8 straight wins after beating the Rays in Tampa 8-2. Boston's leading the American League East 4 games on the Yankees, who outscored the Blue Jays in Toronto 11-5. In the National League, here come the Cardinals.
Swing and a home run. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up. Oh, a grand slam home run for Yadier Molina. He touches them all, and the Redbirds are back on top.
Mike Shannon, Cardinals Radio Network. 5 straight wins for St. Louis, 8-5 over the Royals. The Cards are just a game and a half behind the Cubs now, who lost to the Giants 3-1. The Brewers also a game and a half back in the Central after they were shut out by Bartolo Colon and the Twins 4-0. And the PGA Championship starts in about an hour from Quail Hollow in Charlotte. We'll get a live report. Our first one from Ann Liguori coming up at about 7:20 Eastern. Guys?
Thanks, loser. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I've shared this story once before, at least once before on the show, but a younger Andrew Bogusch one time made the mistake on a different radio network. It was Matt Hasselbeck's bulging disc in his back that gave me an issue. It has befallen many other people that work in TV and radio.
Why is it so difficult? Bulging disc.
It happened again yesterday.
Bulging disc.
On NFL Network.
Bulging disc.
Jane Slater, one of the NFL Network reporters.
Bulging disc.
Hook 'em.
It's
that
so easy.
Moody College of Broadcasting degree in effect.
Moody College of Communication.
There it is.
Yes.
So here is Jane Slater yesterday discussing Cowboy training camp, and I believe Tyron Smith's bulging something on NFL Network.
You'll remember last year he was dealing with a bulging disc issue, rather, in his lower back.
Bulging disc!
How could you forget that from last year?
Why is that so hard? Bulging disc!
That was the problem. And you couldn't, you know, you had to address it, and they finally did. And you don't want to come back again this year.
Bulging.
I mean, it's really, I don't know, there's just something in between your brain and your mouth that makes those two words come together. And I think it's the first word that triggers the second. And everyone, if you haven't done it, you're in the minority.
I'm in. Welcome to my.
Well, you're in the double minority.
Damn. 2 times.
At least you're consistent.
Minority, second power. Yeah, big deal. Whoa. No, the first word does not then
I think it
induce
does.
If, the second.
I think it does.
No.
Oh, yeah. If the word was not bulging, I think you would have far fewer instances.
You guys are some freaks, man.
No, you know what? There's our Twitter poll today, at Gio and Jones on Twitter. If the medical terminology wasn't bulging, would there be so many misspeaks of disc to to you know what.
Hmm.
Okay. I say the first word leads to the second.
I'm just glad Marshawn Lynch wasn't there to witness this. I mean, he was already breathing hot and heavy over the woman. Now, she'd been reading that report while he was around. Yeah. Woo!
Your partner said what? By the way, I've found out since then that was Colleen Wolf. We thought it was Taylor Brashotti because the video that we were working off of the very next morning didn't ID her, and I tried to ID her just off of NFL.com. So I miss ID'd her. It was Colleen Wolf who was in the crosshairs of Marshawn Lynch that day.
Really?
Not Taylor Brashotti.
Yes. That was Jane Slater.
Bulging.
No, Jane Slater was yesterday.
Hook 'em horns, Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Moody.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where the best comes from.
Good for her. It's a good club to be in. Welcome aboard.
I have the bulge definition if you want me to read it.
Yes.
Yeah, please, because no one knows what it means.
It's a media swell icon. Or protrude to an unnatural or incongruous extent.
Incongruous.
Incongruous extent.
Incongruous.
Incongruous?
The veins in his neck bulged.
Congress.
Swell, stick out, puff out, balloon.
Bulging.
Does your dad listen at 6:30 in the morning? You know, your dad, the like record industry maven.
Are you serious?
Like, I've got a son. He's going to follow my footsteps. We'll have the Biseglia record label.
If you were
label.
His father, would you listen?
By now, no. I would have originally. And then for my health, I would have. Did he just say incongruous and then was corrected and then said it wrong again? Okay, I'm going to go back to sleep, hon. I'm going to go look at my Mariah Carey records, my gold records I've gotten from the super famous musicians I've worked with.
I'd be doing that every day.
Yeah, he's just back there petting his Kenny G platinum records going, if only. This could have been yours one day, Mike. So then there's Devontae Freeman, 5 years.
Who does not have a bulging disc.
As far as we know.
Right.
Is, you know,
bulging.
As far as we know.
Right.
5 years. He's got a bulging paycheck now.
Well, he does. He has a pending one, but
yes.
He wants an even more bulging paycheck, like a long-term deal instead of just this one-year tender.
No,
which
we haven't gotten
signed.
Le'Veon Bell yet. This is Devontae Freeman.
I thought you said
Atlanta.
Bell.
I might have. I might have said Devontae Bell or Chauncey Bell, the way things have been going for me.
Le'Veon, Devontae, all the same, right? Still play running
same
back.
Same position, yeah.
Oh, my bad.
So Devontae got paid.
Yeah, Devontae did get paid.
And currently, for multi-year signed running backs, earns the most money per year.
Right.
Bell's getting $12 million when he signs the tender.
Yes.
But Freeman's 8 and change annual average value is now the greatest in the NFL.
And that's more than LeSean McCoy, correct?
I think he makes 8 even, and
yeah.
Freeman makes a little more than that.
Cool.
Yeah.
And he's came in the league at third or fourth round draft pick,
yeah,
back in 2014. So here, 3 years later, the guy gets a new deal and an extension on his deal. And it's been damn good for the Falcons. He, along with Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
So they have a nice little 1-2 punch there for the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him. He was clamoring for it. I think his agent was talking about this while they were heading into the Super Bowl, and so that was one of the backstories heading into the Super Bowl, because there was nothing else to talk about. So let's talk about a contract that will not get done prior to the Super Bowl commencing. And so finally he gets his change, and now I guess Tevin Coleman is next in line, possibly.
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell then is probably, you know, really next in line at Pittsburgh. And I don't understand why Kevin Colbert's so angry at Le'Veon Bell for not showing up at training camp.
Yeah, that was interesting. The GM, Kevin Colbert, there is saying that Le'Veon Bell, which we know he's missing time with his teammates. We understand that. He knows his teammates. Here's a guy that has been injured, often injured, missed a lot of action, but then returns to the field and doesn't skip a beat. So why are you so concerned about Le'Veon Bell? You can't be concerned about his conditioning, because here's a guy who transformed his body coming out of Michigan State. You look at those pictures, juxtapose those with the Le'Veon Bell we're witnessing now, and you would just marvel at the transformation. Not that he was a disgusting fat body coming out of Michigan State, but he was a much thicker, much bigger running back, and now he's become sweet feet in the NFL. And so you're not going to worry about his conditioning per se, but as I always say, football conditioning is totally different from just being in shape and running around and doing drills on your own or at some academy. But from that standpoint, I was surprised to see those comments. And basically, essentially what he was saying is that He's not getting a long-term deal. We're standing pat where we are. We've offered him the $12 million for this 1 year, and that's it. Nothing's going to change on our end, so he might as well be here. So he has planted his flag and said that's it as far as the Steelers and how we see moving forward here in short term with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I am. First of all, I didn't realize this. The Steelers can actually add money to the franchise tag tender this year. They could add incentives. They could give him more than $12 million. They can't do a long-term deal with him right now. That deadline expired. Or they can rescind the tag and make him a free agent. So they do, in theory, have decisions to make here. They could have a move or two to address this. And I get it. I mean, I'm the guy that told you, you missed training camp and you put yourself in line for a pulled hamstring, a pulled quad. That would certainly be my concern if I'm the Steelers and I'm a Steeler fan. But if I'm the GM of the Steelers, I'm not saying these things out loud and coming across like a baby. This is how things work, okay? You guys, and I'm not saying they should have written him a blank check, but there was a deal to be done somewhere. They didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. They give him the tag, which they didn't have to do. He's, pseudo-accepted it, hasn't officially signed it yet. And because he hasn't signed it yet, he is not required to be at training camp. So this is just what the situation is. So just deal with it. Don't whine and complain about it. When 9 times out of 10, you guys get your way as an organization, the one time that the players have a little bit of power and a little bit of negotiation stance, to get your, what's all in a bunch over this is silly.
Le'Veon Bell will show up to camp. He will get his $12 million for this 1 year, and he will hope to get an extension at some point during the season to see how he performs and how he holds up from a health standpoint. But they should not be concerned with this cat getting in there and getting his work in, because he doesn't need it. He's been in the league for a few years now. He's going to show up ready to go. He's going to perform. The big question is, can he stay healthy? And that's why we're sitting here at an impasse as far as his contract and a long-term deal, because there are concerns and legitimate concerns about his health. So I get that. But to go out and publicly admonish him for not being in camp, I mean, that's the wrong tack to take.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. There was football last night, a little more structured and a little more valid and significant than the Hall of Fame game. It was the Panthers and the Texans in Charlotte. No Cam Newton. We got Deshaun Watson. We got Tom Savage. We got Christian McCaffrey. We got J.J. Watt. We'll break down that, pseudo preseason opener last night. Plus Andrew Luck and Christian Hackenberg, still bad at being a quarterback. Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Tiki and Tierney have Guns N' Roses tickets. Listen weekdays between 3 and 6 Eastern for your chance to win. Exclusively on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Just underway, relatively speaking, early in a Thursday edition of Gio and Jones here on CBS Sports Radio. Brian Jones, Sandra Bogish in for Gio. Ann Liguori is on the show this morning. The PGA Championship is about to begin shortly down in Charlotte. I don't think I've mentioned that Dennis Dodd will join us today, national college football writer for CBSSports.com.
Has no idea what he's talking about.
We'll go back in to part one of a series long, multiple part series at CBSSports.com based on surveys, anonymous surveys given to college football head coaches. The first one was about NCAA violations and cheating, so we'll break that down with Dennis, maybe get some Josh Rosen in with him as well. And Sean O'Hara of the NFL Network, former Giant, will be on the program as well before we are done, all alongside your phone calls at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. While they're checking your battery, have them look at your alternator just in case as well. We have learned that the hard way here at Gio and Jones. always ask how your alternator is.
There you go.
As well. So where are we to this? Yes, football last night still doesn't count. And still a lot of guys who you didn't know existed were playing on the field last night. But we did get glimpses of some major storylines with the Panthers and the Texans. I have not seen every snap that Deshaun Watson took last night, playing all of the second, all of the third, into the fourth quarter last night near Clemson, playing right in Charlotte.
Yep.
But from all things considered, all reports, Deshaun Watson looked fairly good, all things considered, in his pseudo-NFL debut last night.
It looked smooth, and we say this every year about rookies. You should pump your brakes somewhere because everything's bland. This is bare-bones football. You're not throwing a lot at them in the game, per se, especially that first preseason game. It's your basic coverages, your basic run plays and things of that nature. You're going to have some boots and waggles. But other than that, there's nothing really intricate about the game plan. Now, that will ramp up as you progress through preseason, but for what he did last night, good first step. You didn't see anything that would cause concern. He used his athleticism. He threw the ball pretty well. Good marks for the first time out.
As far as I could see, he broke the huddle correctly every time, which has been an issue for some of his colleagues around the NFL.
Yeah, had no issues there with speaking loudly and cracking
which
the huddle.
Which was the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey had a couple of nights. Watson, by the way, scored on a run last night. Didn't throw for a touchdown, didn't throw a pick. Tom Savage, who is going to start week one, that's not debatable in Houston, looked okay, especially later on in his couple of drives in that game last night.
And the one thing you look for, and we saw this last year with Dak Prescott when he was thrust into action after Romo goes down, is you look to see if they belong. Do they look comfortable out there? And they have a feel for the game.
Yeah,
and
throw Watson, up from nerves.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people that would throw up and still go out there and do some damn good work. And we know the Mark Schlereth playing center. Just imagine a quarterback and how you felt about that. But another story for another time. You look and see if these guys are comfortable in their own skin out there and look as though they belong. And I thought both Watson and McCaffrey, now, one preseason game,
right,
but they both look like they belong, and no one's really game planning that much for the opposing team, not at this juncture.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people tweeting about one McCaffrey run, little inside handoff where he let the blocks develop in front of him, had his hand on a lineman, followed him through traffic, and then I think he ended up getting 12 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, that's McCaffrey, that's a veteran run, that's it, and it's great.
Well, patient, being patient.
Yeah.
And what was the knock on Ezekiel Elliott last year early on in the season? He wasn't patient enough as a run. He didn't let things materialize, hitting the hole too quickly, even though that hole only stays open for so long. You got to maximize your effort and to take advantage of that closing hole there. But he's always showcased that patience when he was at Stanford, and he did again last night.
Now, Cam Newton didn't play in the game last night, and he might not have played anyway in the first preseason game, whether or not he was coming off of spring shoulder surgery. But Cam is on the practice field. He's throwing. I don't have almost any concern about his readiness for week one, but I certainly, if I have any, it's less than what I have for Andrew Luck. Chris Ballard talked again yesterday about this. The plan remains for Luck to be there in week one, but you know, it's August now, and he's not on the field, and he's not doing anything in front of cameras in public view, and I'd be a little nervous right now if I'm the Colts. I'm a Colt fan that if he is playing in week one, he's not going to be anywhere near where you'd want him to be in week one.
Well, Andrew Luck is throwing a lot of footballs, and they're going to proceed cautiously with him, and I don't blame them. And we're, what, a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks at the most into training camp. So I'm not worried just yet. And so they know that guy, and he knows his body the best, and they're going to slow walk this thing, as they should, and hopefully he'll have better protection this year. But he played with that injury. He's been playing with that for a while.
Yeah.
So that's a testament to his strength and his pain threshold. So I wouldn't be concerned at this point. The later we get into training camp, and if he's not out there and he's not throwing, and that's when you start worrying about his readiness for game one.
Another astute Gio and Jones poll of the day on Twitter, from Mikey B, @Gio and Jones, is Christian Hackenberg the best QB in New York? It's a fair question the way Hack has been going so far.
It's a horrible question.
He's about to in year two in the NFL, after a college and high school career, he's about to master the huddle, which is good. Congrats to him on that.
Wait, hold up. That's a great question. Yes, he's the best quarterback possibly in New York, but not in New Jersey, where they actually play.
Ooh.
And where training camp is held for both professional football teams.
What about the Bills, who are actually in New York State?
Oh, I take that back. No. He's not. Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jim Kelly.
Yeah. What? Jim's not playing. What do you mean, Jim Kelly?
That's exactly my point.
Okay.
Okay, that's my point about Hackenberg, who threw two more picks yesterday.
Yeah.
It's two for two.
Did he throw them to reporters? Or
No. These were to Jet defenders.
Oh, okay.
They were technically, officially interceptions.
But he did break the huddle, okay.
He was able to finish the workout, yes. Oh, and he got first team reps yesterday.
Baby steps, man.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
Baby steps. And his head coach was super angry. Couldn't tell it from his voice. But said I'd be upset if the defense wasn't getting turnovers.
Ah, there you go.
That's one way to spin it.
Mm, yeah.
Jim Mora on his talkative QB, Josh Rosen. Not sure why the talk was needed. Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.